Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by his wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country
church. Well, good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, this is the time of year that mankind set aside to honor our Lord and Savior for his work here on the earth and for his resurrection. But you know, there's a whole lot more than we need to remember about what has taken place and what was going on. We're going to be getting into that starting this evening, because as I told you all this morning, we're going to be teaching the Bible. And on certain days, we'll be in certain parts of it. Right now, we're going to be starting with the first of the New Testament. I know that several that probably think we don't need to start back over that. It hadn't been too long since we was there. But we all need all the study in all of the Word that we can possibly lay hold of. Because our memories are really not that good. We forget things, especially things that we don't work with and don't sit with often. So tonight, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer and ask him to open our hearts and our minds to be receptive, and to help each one of us to receive what we need as an individual to walk according to his word by the Spirit in his will and his way so that our lives will be able to make heaven our home when we do step out of this life and into the next. But now, Father, be with us. And we're asking all of this in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Now, we're going to be going back to the book of Acts. That is the beginning of the New Testament. You say, well, how can you say that? Because this church, this age that we are living in, was not brought to mankind until the day of Pentecost, after the Lord had been crucified, spent 3 days in the grave, was resurrected on the third day. You know, they tried to make all kinds of excuses. They even claimed, and the government even paid some of them to say that the disciples had come and broke into the tomb and moved him. But you know that was proven false, because he walked after he was resurrected. He still walked on this earth 40 days. And he was seen by all of the disciples. Plus, at one time, he was seen by over 400 men, or 500 men rather, plus women and children. That didn't hold water. But on top of that, we know that those that were following him in that day and time and establishing the church could not have done what they did and were doing in their life without that power of Almighty God in their lives. You see, Jesus, he told his disciples to go in that upper room and wait until they was endued with power from on high. We'll be getting into that very shortly, but anyway. That 40 days he spent with them, he was teaching them things they needed to know in order to do the work that God was wanting them to do. Now, also, after that 40 days, he ascended into heaven. They went in to the upper room, and they was there 10 days. So it was 50 days after his resurrection that the day of Pentecost came. And it was then that the church was really started and was covered by his blood. And you and I are to walk according, because you see, that's when you and I were sent the Holy Spirit also. He's given to mankind. No, we wasn't there at that time, but it was sent back to mankind on that day. and has been with mankind ever since. And for those that are willing to walk with God, to do what he asked of them to do, those that have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, as their healer, they have all been filled with the Holy Spirit, born again, children of God, and we are to continue to walk that way. So we're going to begin here with this first chapter and see and start learning just how faithful we need to be and why. And as we go through the book of Acts, we're going to learn a whole lot. And it's going to bring back our memories for a lot of things that we have either forgotten or that we just haven't been using. Now, beginning here with verse 1, says, the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. You see, those he had chosen, these apostles that he had chosen, three, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days. You see, not telling you about him walking with them 40 days. That wasn't my word. That's God's word. And speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God, being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. This was where he had gave them to wait, which they did. And as we go just a little further, we're going to see a lot of change that is coming about to mankind. Here in verse 6 it says, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? You see, at this time, they had not been filled with the Holy Spirit, and they wasn't understanding a lot of things he was telling them. Because it takes that knowledge that the Holy Spirit will give each one of us for us to really understand and receive the knowledge that this Word of God gives to each one of us. Here in 7. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And, you know, stop and think about those 12 men that really walked with Christ. How many they had touched. They touched great multitudes personally while they were here before they went back to be with him in heaven. But look how many more they have touched in our day and time, because it was through them that this word of God has been given to you and I. And now we have the Holy Spirit with us to give us the revelation and the truth of God's word. Now, and that came through them, or because of them, put it that way. Now, 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, two angels of Almighty God, standing with them. Now, as they watched him go, these two angels now speaks to them and tells them, says, verse 11, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Letting them know that there would be a time that he is coming back. But you and I don't have to wait for him to come back, because as born again children of God, he is living in us and we in him. And so is the Holy Spirit nowadays. But you see, still at this time, they had not received the Holy Spirit. So they still wasn't understanding a lot he was saying to them. But here in verse 12, it says, then returned they into Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. A Sabbath day's journey. You know, that was the distance that the Jew was allowed to travel on the Sabbath. About two-thirds of a mile. That's all traveling they can do on the Sabbath. But look what we try to do today on the Sabbath. And yet we are to honor the Sabbath day. Because once we become that born-again child of God, we have been adopted into the Jewish family. Think about it. Because we belong to him. A lot of us just don't take time to really try to understand what the word is telling us. 13. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brother. Now we know, we'll be finding that out here in just a few moments, but we know that we're not talking about 12 anymore. There's 120 in that upper room, both men and women. Now, you see, they tell me I am against women because I don't believe in women pastoring a church. No, I'm not against women. Wish I had a church full. Because they have a work. But they're not called for my work. And Jesus tells us that. We'll be getting into that just a little later. Now, here in 15. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. That just said, a few minutes ago, I told you he's going to be getting the number. There it is. In 16, it says, men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us, and had obtained part of this ministry. And yet, he was the one to betray Jesus and to betray him. And even led him to him to take him so he could be crucified. Think about it. We all know what happened to him. He returned those 30 pieces of silver he got for doing it, and then went and committed suicide by hanging himself. We need to be very careful how we live our lives and walk here on this earth. Well, we can be in a lot of trouble. Now, 18. Now, this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he bust under in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. Well, we know that that happens a whole lot of times when people are hanged. Because back in our early days in this country, coming here to make it into the land in which we now live, that was one of the punishments for a lot of crimes, was hanging. And it wasn't a pretty sight. Now, 19. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that seal is called in their proper tongue Al-Shalom. That is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein. And his bishopric let another take. We're going to find out how that comes about. Because there's several different stories to go with this that we really need to understand. Now 21. Wherefore of these men which have companion with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, being from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection, letting us know just what to expect when we do become that believer. Now, 23. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthew. Prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knoweth the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen. They're picking one to take Judas's place now. That will be taking up his bishopric. As the scriptures was telling us just a few months ago about. And we know, it tells us here, who that will be. Here 25 says, after they had asked to know which one he would have chosen, 25 says that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. They gave forth their lot, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. He has took Judas's place now. And that brings us to the end of chapter 1. But still early. So let's get over here into 2, because now we're going to be finding out when the church really was formed and how. Here in chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. I want you to notice that in chapter 1, when they went to the upper room, they were all with one accord. Now, here we're finding they're talking again about them being in one accord. That means that they are all of one mind, and it is set on Jesus and on what he wants of them. But they are in union. Now, verse 2. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Can you imagine how they felt? At this time, you got a rushing mighty wind in your house, but yet That ain't even the big part of it. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it set upon each one of them. How do you think you'd feel to be sitting here with me? And all at once we get this sound of a rushing mighty wind and a streak of fire aims at each one of us. We're going to try to get out of the way, ain't we? We may not be able to move fast enough to get out of the way, but you can imagine how they felt. Now, and that cloven tongue has a fire set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You see, I've told you before that when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you will speak with tongues. Now, we're told how to use tongues. We're told why they were given to us, even. And most today is using false tongues because they're using them in ways that that they're not supposed to be using them. And they are told about all of that in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. You can read that and find out all about that. Now, with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. 5. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. That's a lot of different people from every nation. They all spoke different languages back then. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. You see, there's also a gift of hearing there. Along with it. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? So they should not have been able to speak all these different languages. They're all from the same place. But they were. Now, hey, and how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, the dwellers in Mesopotamia, and in Judea, Cappadocia, in Pontus, in Asia, Paragai, Pamphylia, in Egypt, and in the parts of Libya, about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes, Arabians. We do hear them speak in our own tongue the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others, mockingly, said, these men are full of new wine. They tried to claim they drunk. But why would them being drunk gave them a different tongue? But you see, that's how men today and their unbelief is just as far off base as this was. But that understanding they don't have, because they don't have Jesus, they don't have the Holy Spirit, and they're not getting the understanding that they need in order to live a life that God really wants them to live and to have. So we're coming now. You've heard me say many times to one of the best sermons recorded in the Bible. And Peter does it. One that had denied him three times on the night he was taken. But listen, after now, he has been filled with the Holy Spirit. And I want you to see the difference in him. And this, in teaching, let's just see all of that. Verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, You men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. Listen to me. For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Well, we all know that read the Bible, study the Bible, about Joel's prophecy, about the Lord Jesus Christ. But now here this man that has been so afraid that he denied Jesus three times in one night. But listen how he addresses to the same people he was afraid of. And he left with that prophet of Joel. He says, And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will pour out in those days of my spirit. And they shall prophesy. You see, this is exactly those that have not gone far enough to be filled with the Holy Spirit, why they are accepting women preachers. Said they could prophesy. Well, we know to prophesy, you're talking to someone about the Lord and about the Word of God. But they're to do that outside the church. Oh, now, Pastor Tony, you don't mean, yes, I mean that. Because that's exactly what the Word tells us. 1 Timothy 2nd chapter, if you read the last 8 or 10 verses of that chapter, you will find out what I'm telling you. He said he did not call a woman to teach, nor usurp authority over man. He went on in the 1 Corinthians 14 chapter and told her that it was even a shame for her to speak in the church. But now she can meet with me outside the church and share the Word of God with me that will help build me up. and she can walk with the power of the Holy Spirit in her to the extent of praying for sickness or anything else outside the church. But she has a work that God gives her to do in His Word. We'll be getting to that later on. Now, the 19th. He said, and I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapors of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's quite a different Peter, ain't it? And yet we still haven't got to his full change in strength yet. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. That standing and speaking with boldness, and especially to a crowd that had caused you to deny. That's the change that the Holy Spirit has made up to this point. And this is even new with Peter. He hadn't had him very long at this time. But he wasn't afraid no more. 24. Whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. And neither should you and I be moved. We should never let anything move us from the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that's what Satan is hanging around for, is to have one little chance, one little way to get a hold of you, to try to bring you away from the Lord Jesus Christ. 26. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also, my flesh shall rest in hope. In hope. What is that hope? That hope, for most of us, is there will not be lost. That we've got heaven made. Let me tell you something. If you have the Holy Spirit in you, you know where you stand. You know how you stand. And you know where you are headed. People tell you, no, you can't know. Word tells you, you can. 28. No, 26. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. And it don't matter what we are going through. what Satan may have brought to us, trying to drag us away from him, just as he did with me, and brought a sickness on me, but it still has not been able to take my joy away from me. Nor has he been able to take my Jesus away from me. He's not going to get him. So he's going to have to leave me and leave me alone. But it don't mean he's going to continue leaving me alone. No, he'll be back. Because you see, we're the ones he wants. Those out here that are not believers, he's already got them. You and I are supposed to be after them to bring them away from him. That's why he wants you and I so badly. So we don't take his. But under the New Testament, those that are covered by the blood of Jesus, he's finding out he can't do much with them. Now, men and brethren, 29. Let me speak, or freely speak, unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has swore with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. You see, the Lord Jesus not only came to take our sins away and to make a way for us, but he's here, he came also to show us the way, put us on the right path, which is the church that he established on the day of Pentecost. When that Holy Spirit came into the room that day with the sound of a rushing mighty wind and cloven tongues as a fire, and set upon them, that is when the New Testament church began. That was the beginning of it. Now, 31. He seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus has God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. This is a boldness of speech, isn't it? Especially from a man that had denied him. And he's talking to the same crowd that he was afraid of. Now he's pointing an accusing finger at him. Now, Verse 33. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. We need to be walking in this kind of boldness today. And if we have that infilling indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we will walk that way because we don't worry about what anyone says of us or to us. Them mocking me don't bother me. And things they'll throw at me and say to me don't bother me. Because you see, I know that really it's not me they're talking about. They're talking about that Holy Spirit that's within me, that they're seeing and hearing And one day they will have to answer for that. But I am to continue loving them, praying for them, and praying that the Holy Spirit will be able to get a hold of them, to touch them, and to lead them out of that darkness and into the light, and that light being the Lord Jesus Christ. 34. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. And we know that's exactly what the Father told the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, therefore, let all the house of Israel know it surely that God has made that same Jesus whom ye, there's that finger pointing again, have crucified, both Lord and Christ. You know, man, today, and a lot of them, your churches, a lot of your churches and your pastors, blame the Romans for crucifying Jesus. They're not the ones really that did it. Yes, they drove the nails to put him on that cross, but it was his own. Pilate wanted to turn him loose, but they wouldn't have it. They kept crying and hollering out, crucify him, crucify him, until Pilate finally gave in. Now here's one of their own, letting them know, you done it. But here's the part of this chapter I love. 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? We need more asking us today. What shall we do? And here was Peter's answer. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. We have been gave the whole plan of salvation right there. To repent. Go to Jesus. Let him know, Lord, I am a sinner. Forgive me. And you do it from the heart in sincerity. You don't have to stand and name every sin. He knows them all. In fact, he knows ones you've done forgotten. All about. But when you let him know sincerely and honestly, Lord, I am a sinner, forgive me, and you mean it, then he will do it. And then you need to be baptized, and you're baptized in his name. Why? Why can't I be baptized the other way? Why can't I be baptized in John's baptism? Because John's baptism was for repentance. That's not why you're baptized. You're not baptized for repentance. You went to Jesus for that. And you ask him to come into your life. You're baptized to put him on. The sixth chapter of Romans tells you exactly what is happening to you when you are baptized. We're not going into that tonight, but we'll be getting there. And it tells you exactly what happens when you are baptized the right way. Now, he told us, once we've done that, then we are in shape then to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. 39. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. You see, God will call every one of us. We need to be waiting for that time of call. And with many other words did he, speaking about Peter now, testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Let me tell you something. We're living in a day and time that's just as bad, and I believe, really believe, a little worse than it was at the time of Peter here. Now, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. He wasn't talking to a small crowd. We don't know how big that crowd was, but we know there was 3,000 of them saved that day, find salvation. 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. You see, that is the doctrine you and I are supposed to be living with and in. The apostles' doctrine, which is this book. This word of Almighty God, teaching as they taught, not something different, not something we want to make it say, but as it speaks, and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. 43. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. You see, we have to stand together in our belief. We can't be teaching three or four different things. Right now, there is three of us in this ministry. Brother Kenny Powers, Brother Dennis Lee, and myself. The three of us, we have to be in one accord, all teaching the same thing. All teaching alike, because we're teaching the Word of God. Now, I don't mean that we're going to teach the same chapter as each other, but we're all going to stand in the truth of God's word and share with you. Now, 45, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. Something else you ain't going to find going on today. Very few people are going to help you, period. Especially, you know, there was a time I can remember in my younger days when if you did need help, for you to really get help, your best chance was to go to the church the church would help you. The people in that church would help you. Not that way anymore. That's why our ministry is different than a lot of ministries. That's one of the reasons. Because we will help all we can. 46. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You see, their church was never closed. They worked daily. And that's what we're getting ready to do. It's starting now. Each evening at 6 p.m., you can join us for Bible study. You can call in, or you can come to my home. You can call and talk with me. If you have any questions, you know, that you can join with us. Because we want to be adding people to God's blessing every day. Reaching all that we can reach with the truth of God's word. And with Brother Dennis, Brother Kenny Powers, I have love for them. I have trust and belief in them and how they stand. And will. Unless they show me something different. And as of right now, no. No. No, we all stand teach. All right. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we close your word this evening, we thank you for this word, Father. We thank you for the Lord Jesus and for the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for a time that we can come together to share your word. And we thank you, Father, that we're able to reach out over the internet and let it travel for all places where the internet goes. With thy word and the truth of thy word, Father. And for those of us, Father, that is standing in healing, let us remember that you've already given it. Your word tells us that we are healed by his stripes, by the stripes that Jesus bore upon his body, has brought healing to us. Does it mean, Father, that when we ask, we can just receive it every time? All at once, no. Sometimes it takes a while because some of us, Father, are slow learners. But let us stand in faith, believing, and we know that it is being done and will be done. But one day we will be free of that sickness, with that disease or whatever it is that Satan has brought against us, because we're standing in faith, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, and Satan cannot stand against him. We have been given the authority to use that name And Father, for our families, we all have families, family members that are not born again. We ask that the Holy Spirit can work with them. Use him and us, Father, to bring them from darkness to light, that light being Jesus. Never let us get to the point, Father, to where we quit trying to get the word to them. Now, Father, this nation of ours, we have an election coming up pretty soon. And the church needs to come together on that day and to take out of office those that have brought so much evil upon our own people. And that we, Father, with our votes, will replace them with ones that will stand for and with the Lord Jesus in the church, and will work with us and help us to bring this land to repentance and put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Be with each of us now, Father, as we prepare to separate. Keep us all healthy. Keep us all safe. Bring us all together again, Father, tomorrow evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. We ask this now, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.